welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks so much for joining us for today's Grace Hour broadcast, friends. And again, we appreciate you so much taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. Hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so as we continue to develop this rich theme that we've been talking about throughout this week on the Grace Hour, and that is the doctrine of perseverance. What does it mean to persevere as a believer? And today we'll be focusing on persevering in doctrine, the importance of taking the Word of God into our souls on a consistent, regular basis, and what a difference that makes in our lives when we do just that. Phone lines will be open throughout the entire broadcast. If you'd like to pick up that phone and join us on the program today, please feel free to do so. Here are the numbers. Toll-free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. And the local number, 410-483-3700. And again, we welcome your comments as well in the chat. Chat line is waiting for your questions, comments, any messages that you'd like to send to us, please feel free to do so. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be your host for the next 45 minutes. Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio today, and we're ready to get things started on this Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And Pastor Schaller, I was thinking on the whole subject matter of perseverance. Well, you've been doing that for over 50 years in the faith. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about that, practically speaking. I hope that we get a chance to talk about some of those principles, practical principles, today with our listeners.
Yeah, I like to think of examples of people who have persevered at doing difficult things. And before the program, we were talking about a man breaking out of prison by digging in the camps in Germany, or remember the prisoner of war camps, and digging a tunnel with a spoon. I'm sure you have, even in our home projects, we get into a home project, you know, renovating a garage or a bedroom or a bathroom, and halfway through,
you want to quit.
Or not halfway through, like just, you know, 2 hours into it, we're like, you know, what did I do? How did I get into this? But perseverance is a big issue in the Christian faith, and Paul says a lot about it. So when we start, we'd like to know, like Jesus said, count the cost of the tower. You know, before you build a tower, you got to know really what it entails. When you go out to war, you have to kind of realize what it takes. And when it comes to the reality of living the Christian life, I really need resources that are outside of me. But I can be determined, but that determination has to be tempered with an understanding of grace, understanding of that God will do this. You know, God will carry me, but he is asking me to participate.
Yeah. And I think that whole idea of God asking us to participate is so crucial, because I think this is where a lot of believers have their struggle. You know, what's God's part? What's my part? What's his role as opposed to my role? And I like what you said, because I think the whole idea of God saving us and saying, in effect, okay, I took you out of the drowning waters, but I put you in the boat, but now you're going to have to row your way to heaven. That kind of thought troubles a lot of us, because, as you said, God has the means. He has the provision whereby we can persevere.
Yeah, right. I think it's an exercise of understanding the nature of what we are in, and to be continually renewed in our mind in grasping the reality of God and his nature, and then being single-eyed and being able to relate to God in worship and in faith. And then we are, like Paul said, running the race. Let me read it. Therefore, in verse chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. So, Pastor Love, do you want to say something about how I could run, but uncertainly? Like, I don't really, I am running, but then he says in the next verse, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So, verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we had an incorruptible. So, we're running, but not as uncertainly.
It sounds like he brought certain disciplines into his life. He knew that that was absolutely necessary. And again, I don't want to suggest that God saves us, but then we are the ones that keep ourselves in that saved condition. But there are certain disciplines that we can invite into our lives and begin to develop in our lives. For instance, you mentioned last night at our midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, coming to church three times a week sounds so simple, sounds so basic, but when people do it, the benefits, well, you can't even number them. And the people perhaps that don't do that, they might be struggling a lot more than those that are listening to the Word of God on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I choose to be in a group, in the midst of a group of people that love. I'm in a room of love. God is present in the room. There is wisdom in the room and the gifts of the Spirit in the room. We sing together and set our hearts and minds. I get to focus and concentrate as a listener, for an hour. I do this as a habit. I get fresh ideas. I get inspired sometimes. I get corrected sometimes, but I overall benefit from it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like a lot of people, you talk to them about physical exercise. If they've never done it, they just think it's just too difficult. They might try to do it and say, well, there was some pain afterwards. There was some discomfort. There was some suffering.
Yeah,
but if you continue to do that, that discipline, once you invite it into your life and then it you begin to consistently practice it, it becomes part of your life. And then you long for it rather than looking at it as a chore and something that you have to do, a duty, an obligation. It becomes more like a blessing, like a privilege that you have in life.
There are many words that go along with the word persevere. We have the focus, we have steadfastness, we have integrity, godliness, faith. We have the joy of the Lord is our strength, waiting on God. So when we think about getting from point A to point B and being determined about it, we might not know exactly all the time what point B is and where is it and when do I get there. But I do realize that if I could carry less baggage, Hebrews 12:2, this sin easily besets me, and the weight that I carry, the extra baggage that I carry, also easily besets me. So I do think there is the lean, mean kind of scenario where somebody really is getting orientation where he can really continue in his doctrinal perspective and relate to God in faith and continue without too much compromise.
Yeah, because compromise always leads to corruption in the soul. What about the example of others who have persevered. How important is that to have people in the realm of your life, in your sphere of influence, that have lived out their faith, not just for a year or two, but for decades? We saw that in Pastor Stephen's life.
Yeah.
And we celebrated it all the time.
Right, right.
And almost as if to say, if you can do it, then there's hope for me. And I think that to have those examples before you, the examples of the faith, is crucial.
Yeah, we gravitate to excuses. We gravitate to that which is convenient. But we are taking note of the gold medal winner. And if we want to do that, we have to follow a more narrow band of people that are willing to sacrifice something in order to persevere and win the prize. It's true. There are people that don't want to follow in the narrow group, but they want the, many excuses. You know, oh, he doesn't do that, I gravitate to him. But actually, I should realize that we are living in a time where there'll be more and more falling away, more and more. I don't know exactly, but I know generally there's 400 false prophets, and there's one that's telling the truth.
Wow. Friends, don't forget you can join us anytime you like. In fact, we do have someone who's calling us. It's Christina. I believe she's calling out from out the West Coast. Christina, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Boy, it's been a really long time since I called in. And I'm going to jump right to the first point, which is an emergency prayer request. I just saw it in one of our prayer groups that Pastor Chris McFarland in Florida was driving himself to the hospital, and when he got there, they realized that he was having a heart attack. So if we could lift him up for prayer, and his wife is at home, and she's very ill as well and can't drive, can't, kind of walk. So kind of an emergency situation. So I'm going to just commit that to you for prayer, and then I have just a couple of little things to share after that.
Yes, Father, we join with believers around the globe today for Keith McFarland, our good friend down in Florida, who is at this moment hospitalized. We pray, Father, for wisdom for the doctors. We pray for the treatment that he'll receive. We pray, Lord, that you would just restore him to good health and whatever is needed, whatever is necessary to restore him to good health. We pray that you would make that happen. We love him, and we pray for his precious wife as well. Comfort them and be with them during these critical hours. We commit him to your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And that's Pastor Chris McFarland.
Just pardon me. Pastor Chris McFarland. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And I just wanted to say, Pastor Love, you and I have something in common. In January, I broke both of my wrists while I was roller skating. So there you go.
Well, it's nice to know somebody can identify with what I'm going through. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. But hey, we're still moving no matter what.
Amen.
But also just wanted to say we had such a wonderful time last week. My husband and I met Pastor Manny and Molly Harrison, along with the Chungs, and we were doing about a week of evangelism in California in the San Diego area, and then also up by where Dr. Chung lives, and just spying out the land. Pastor Manny had his heart to, potentially do some church planting there, and we're, definitely interested in that work of God, and it was a really blessed time. Hearts were very, very open. We got to share with a lot of people, passed out a lot of tracts, and it was just a really beautiful time and very, very edifying. So just be keeping that in mind. We might be seeing, a work of God on the far, far, far left coast, West Coast in California.
That's exciting. We'll continue to pray for that. And just to hear that you were able to go out and join Pastor Manny and Pastor Tom Chung and his wife, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. It was great. So I will be there in Baltimore for 2 weeks. I'm so excited. Unfortunately, my husband has to stay behind. My mother-in-law is in hospice care right now, and she is, we don't know how long, but it doesn't seem like it's too much longer before the Lord will call her home. So I'll be in Baltimore for 2 weeks during convention time, and just so looking forward to being with the brethren. And just thank you so much. I mean, this ministry means everything to us, everything. And it's just so wonderful to be able to get all the messages, to be able to be just in the pulse of what Home Base is doing and to be praying and one with you. It is really a supernatural life we have.
Beautiful. Well, you've persevered over these many years, Christina. Thank you so much for calling, and we'll keep Pastor Chris McFarland in our prayers.
All right. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Those phone lines will remain open. If you want to join us, feel free to do so. 800-338-7060. The local number right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Pastor Shelley, back to those examples. You hear a lot of young people today, maybe they grew up in the church, maybe they went and got a Christian education as young people, and then they get a little disillusioned because somebody who they did look up to in the faith, left, went apostasy, they went down the wrong road, they turned their back on their faith. And it's so easy for some of these young people today to say, well, that's my excuse for not following the Lord. But that's a pretty cheap excuse, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Do you have Bible examples, Pastor Love?
Well,
of
people that lived that way, did that?
No, they didn't do that. They did the opposite.
Oh, the opposite. Yes.
They persevered.
Yeah. There's three individuals that came to my mind in the past several hours that I've been thinking about. One of them was Joseph, we're familiar with his story, and a lot of twists, a lot of turns, a lot of bends in the road, a lot of challenges, a lot of tests. Maybe that trial lasted for about 17 years, and he got through it. And then Moses, I don't know how we would look at his life, whether it was the first 40 years in Egypt or the second 40 years as a fugitive out in the wilderness, or the last 40 years when he becomes the great liberator of the children of Israel. Maybe 120 years, or maybe 40 years, or maybe 80 years. And then there's Caleb, who went into the promised land, spied out that land with the other 11 spies, came back with Joshua, brought a good report, but the negative report spread through the camp like wildfire. And here's Caleb, ready to go in, take the land, and more than willing to possess the promises that God had given them. But instead, he's got to wander with a generation of unbelievers and won't see that land and won't step into that land and inherit it for another, just about 40 years. That's what I call perseverance.
Yeah. Moses, Caleb, Joseph. So your point is that a young person could get very discouraged by somebody that walks away, and they can find those examples. Actually, they must be everywhere. But there is one reason why they don't do that, and that is, what would you say?
They've been able to keep their eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
If you stop looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, it won't be long before your faith will be finished. It's that simple, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because you will look at other people's lives, their failures, their flaws, their shortcomings, their inconsistencies. You'll look at your own life. Clearly, you'll be discouraged with the progress that you're making or the lack thereof. it's so easy to look at everything and anything except Jesus himself. And when you keep your hearts stayed and your hearts and minds stayed on him, yeah, well, you're going to have a peace that passes understanding, and you're going to be able to persevere in a profound way. And I think, again, you brought it out in the message last night. Psalm 16 was the passage that we looked at together. And, you know, the psalmist said, you know, I'm going to set the Lord before me all the time. Mm. I think that's the key to persevering.
Yeah. I mean, another example that comes to my mind as you were talking is Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It changed his life. He saw the glory of God, and that he just didn't stop preaching and ministering, even though Israel was not listening. I give them people that are dull hearers, and they are heavy and dull. But it didn't stop Isaiah. And you mentioned, Joseph, Caleb, and Moses, and how did they continue? But Moses endured by seeing him who is invisible.
Wow.
So, this is a great, rich heritage we have.
Yeah.
And something we have to bring to our minds.
I think of Moses and Hebrews, the 11th chapter. There's two things that's brought out in relationship to this persevering. First, there was a refusing. And I think in the lives of believers, there's some refusing that has to take place.
Okay.
We refuse to compromise with our faith. We refuse to accept the culture that the world wants us to conform us to. Mm-hmm. There's so much refusing, but it doesn't stop there. It says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but then he chose instead to suffer affliction with the people of God. They're almost, those two words have to be combined in our lives. I must have a refusing. I must turn my back on certain practices, on certain habits. And I know this might sound somewhat drastic and dramatic, but even some people.
Yeah.
If I continued to relate to the same group of people that I was relating to when I heard the gospel and didn't cooperate with God in that process of separation, I don't know if my faith would have grown. Mm-hmm. I don't think my faith would have flourished. I had to get into the community of believers where you said there was focus, steadfastness, integrity, faith, joy, love. Mm. All of that.
Yeah.
I had to be in the company of those people.
What other company would you be in? The bad one.
I'd have been in a lot of trouble, despair, broken heart, just anxiety, fear.
I mean,
worry.
When you go out the door as a teenager and your mother says, you know, be careful who your friends are going to be. Did she say that?
All the time. All the time.
Really?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, at a young age, before, you know, hearing the gospel and receiving Christ, I made some bad choices. Mm-hmm. I ran with the wrong crowd. And I even had people telling me, I remember one night when I was, back in the day when we did this, hitchhiking home.
Yeah.
And a police car pulled over. And in the police car, you know, they were giving me a ride. One of the police officers was in the Marine Corps with my father.
Okay.
And he turned around and he said, listen, I know who you're hanging out with. And I'm just telling you, if you keep hanging out with them, you'll be in trouble.
Oh,
you may not be a troubled person. You may not be looking for it. But the people you're with are going to lead you into that trouble.
Ooh.
And he was so right. I didn't listen to him. I didn't heed what he said. But he was right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he was probably feeling like he was doing your dad a favor.
I think he was. Yeah.
Like telling you.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So we've got the focus in persevering, where we had Caleb, Moses, and Joseph. Everybody has to overcome something in their past. Everybody has to overcome a failure or a broken relationship or something you don't like. Everybody, all of us. So Moses what he refused, and what else did he do?
And then he chose to identify with a persecuted people and to suffer with them, which to me, I think by today's standards, people would say, I would never choose to suffer. Why would I choose to suffer? If I have a choice, I'm not going to choose to suffer. Moses made a choice to suffer with a persecuted people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I think he understood that sin was seasonal, was fleeting, that its pleasures, if you wish to have them, you can have them for a moment, but they are going to pass. And then we heard again last night, Psalm 16, in your message, God says, I have pleasures at my right hand forevermore.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good trade-off.
That is. Yeah, that is. And not seeing our flesh in corruption, leaving us in hell. The lot has fallen in pleasant places. The Lord is my portion. So there's a whole capability that we have now that we didn't have before.
Absolutely.
So we have resources, so we can persevere.
Yeah. How about Peter in the New Testament? A lot of mistakes, you know, a lot of promises made, none of them kept, denying Christ. And even, this is even after Jesus said, you will deny that you even know me.
Yeah.
How did he go on? How did he persevere? How did he get back in the race? I mean, because sometimes we can use these Old Testament characters and say, yeah, but I need something more contemporary. Well, Peter is a perfect example of someone who is a believer, following Christ sincerely, failing miserably, but that's not the end of his story.
He did. He failed. Christ intercepted him, restored him, and he finished his course. Yeah, with joy. He did it.
There is much grace available to those believers out there that are wondering if they're going to make it. If, you know, will they have what it takes? I'm not so sure that it's a question of, do I have what it takes to endure to the end? As much as God has everything to give to me to make sure that that happens. I think I could openly confess I don't have what it takes, but I'm willing to receive what God has to give me. And he promises if we will just humble ourselves, he will give us more grace. And I think that that goes along with our subject today, which is growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, to pursue doctrine, practically speaking, isn't that the essence of that, walking in the light, as opposed to walking in darkness? If the entrance of God's words gives light, then that's how we want to live our lives. That's how we want to walk through this world, not stumbling in the darkness, but walking in the light and enjoying all of the blessings that God is ready to give us. And he says, and I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that he will provide everything we need to live a life of godliness.
Yeah.
What a great promise.
Everything we need. So we grow in the grace and knowledge. We are learning to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, have our mind renewed, like Joseph in Egypt, as he believed there is a better day coming. Moses also believing a better day. The third person. We had Caleb, Joseph, and then Moses. Yeah. And in not backing off. The end of Hebrews 10 talks about backing off. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So drawing back or pulling off, like, saying I'm not doing this, or I'm not believing like I used to.
That happens in people's lives, and maybe on a momentary basis. But boy, I think a couple of verses prior to that, verse 35 says, "Whatever you do, don't cast away your confidence," and that confidence is in Him, right? Paul said, I don't put any confidence in my flesh. Mm-hmm. Our confidence is in God.
Yes.
And I know that personally, when I go through rough patches in my life, and I begin to, you know, to see very clearly how weak and frail I am, that's the moment when I begin to turn to God and say, you know, I can't do this, but I know that you can. I don't have the strength, but your strength is made perfect in my weakness. I don't have any ability, but everywhere in the Bible I keep reading that you are able. And so I'm counting on that. And that's the confidence that we have in Christ, that he's going to keep us. If we will just simply cooperate. Again, it goes back to that earlier question that we started at the beginning of the broadcast, which is, we know what God is able to do, but what's our responsibility? What's our role? How significant is that role in the whole idea of persevering as believers in Christ?
2 Corinthians 6:1, we then as workers together with him, we are workers together with him. So like that just frames it as a question. What does it mean that we are workers together with him? Like we are both pulling a load in with syncretism, and my pull is better than it would be if I was alone. So we're pulling a load as a team, co-laboring. And we co-labor with God, and it's not just me, but it's God and me. So I like to use an electric saw as an example. Like when I buzz through a board, you know, zzz, you know, like that. And then who cut the board? Like, well, the saw did, but then I did. Both of us did. And I think that's a good example of how God has us co-labor with him, and we do cut boards.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great illustration.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes.
There are a few words in that come to my mind that help me to understand this better. This whole idea of this cooperation, and one of them is the word let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, that's not a difficult word, is it? You know, someone says you're holding on to something, let it go. How difficult is that to just release your grip on something?
Mm-hmm.
And then another word is present your body as a living sacrifice. That's not difficult either. It's kind of like you come before the Lord and say, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how I can do this. I don't know. I can't see the end of the race. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to cross the finish line, but I'm here. And if you can carry me and if you can give me enough grace, I know I'll make it.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
The third word is yield. Yielding is not difficult.
Yield.
I can just, you know, say, all right, I'm giving you the opportunity rather than using it myself.
Okay.
Simple words, but
yeah.
We can do those things, can't we?
What were they again?
Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2.
Okay.
Present your body as a living sacrifice in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then in Romans chapter 6, yield. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. They're not difficult words. I don't struggle with those words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sense any legal obligation attached to those words or any form of legalism. I see it as God saying, I've done all the hard work, you know? It's almost like he's saying, I'm the saw that can cut through that wood.
Yeah.
Just put your hand to it.
Yes.
That's the cooperation.
Pull the trigger.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, I think Caroline is joining us. I'm not sure where from, but Caroline, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Shala. I love you so much. And I just want to personally say thank you for persevering in your faith and for showing up every day. And what's going on, persevere in the word, because the word never comes back void. And that's the most important thing to me. And I'm so glad to see you, Pastor John. So glad to see you back and hear you. And Pastor Shala, I want to thank you for singing to me in the morning. I love it. I was sharing with a friend with a word, and I just that song that you came up with is, I've got something that the world can't, and the world can't take it away. Hey!
Yeah.
And just bringing the word, the cornerstone, my faith, through the decades that I've been with this ministry since 97, actually, this weekend will be my second, I call it my second birthday, my first is my birthday.
Wow.
Monday.
Wow. Wow.
Also, more importantly, is that God saved me this weekend back in 1997. So I love you guys, and I'm just so grateful for the grace of God pulling me through trials and tribulations because of his word never comes back void to me. And I thank you so much for being there for me. I love you guys so much. I wish I could be there. I miss the home base so much, but I still watch you every day. I don't know how I learned to set up my phone, and I still don't know technology. But my phone dings now every time I message or Grace Hour's on, or I hear you, Pastor Cheryl, in the morning. So grateful. God is faithful, and I love you. Thank you guys for both of being faithful.
Beautiful, Caroline. Thank you. And look at how you've persevered over these many years.
He is faithful.
Yes. Amen. That's our testimony.
I follow his word, not man's way, but I follow his word. His words always come back true.
Amen. Well, thank you, Caroline. We love the fact that you're still joining us every way possible. Would be wonderful if you could make it down for this year's International Convention next month. But if you can't, we understand. But boy, what a treat it would be for all of us to see you.
Oh, my gosh. That would be a total miracle. I haven't been to home base in quite a few years. Probably 4 years or over five years now since my mom passed. And again, I have faithful warriors in my cornerstone, like Christine, my other prayer warrior, and precious Linda Sarge. When I went through a trial last week, severe trial, very traumatic, and I asked for one, and the one call that I made with my best friend and my prayer leaders, you know, and I'm so grateful for them. And that's
Amen.
Because I love you guys so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for the call, Carolyn.
God bless you, Pastor. I love you.
All right. We still have a few minutes left in today's broadcast, friends. If you'd like to get one of the last words in, go to your phone, 800-338-7060. That's toll free. Locally, 410-483-3700. Pastor Schaller, Jesus said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He meant that when he said that, didn't he? He meant every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is something that we need for our lives to be sustained and to persevere.
Yeah. Yeah. We read the Psalms. By the way, read the Psalms. Read a few of them every day. Read Proverbs. Read a chapter, if you can, every day, 31 of them, go through them in a month, and get words and enjoy them. Sing the words. Have words in your heart. Speak those words to yourself. Embrace the word. So be encouraged and be actually develop those habits. I like what you said, that actually you get used to it and I think what does happen with our physical body, like when you get into training and you get into liking it, you get addicted to it in a way. In the same way, mentally and spiritually, get in the habit of praying. Get up in the morning and have a time, half an hour, and read and meditate and pray and live like that. It's a great way of life, and then you will benefit from it in the course of a day. God answers our prayers, helps us in our hearts and minds. I put on the wallpaper of my phone a Bible verse that I photoed. I took a picture of it out of my Bible, and that verse is there, and I'll change it, you know, every few days, put a new verse on the wallpaper of my phone.
Mm. And sometimes one of those messages will really deeply speak to your heart.
Yeah.
And you can take that verse and meditate upon it.
Yeah.
And just keep letting it revolve in your mind. And it ministers life to you, because Jesus said something about his words. He said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit. They are life."
Yeah.
There's an impartation of life through these words that are spoken by Jesus and from the scripture.
Yeah. And actually, you'll be at the kitchen table or in the kitchen at the sink. You will be on the sidewalk. You'll be in a car. You'll be at the office. And so there'll be a pause. There'll be a moment where there's nothing being said, but you are able to say something more meaningful in a conversation. Mm. And the person listening could say, "Could you repeat that? Where did you learn that?" Well, that's a proverb from the Bible, you know. Your motive isn't to be a showing off. Your motive is to bring more content into the lives of people, to help them, to share with them.
Mm. And I think it goes without saying that if persevering, finishing strong, so to speak, in our faith is something that we desire, that we think about, that we want to have happen in our lives, it's just not going to happen without the Word of God. It's not going to happen without Bible doctrine. Not going to happen without Bible teaching.
Right, right. No, for sure. Because it isn't our activity. It's like the athletic examples are persevering for a gold medal, digging a tunnel with a spoon. Those are like activities and physical activity. But we are talking about knowing a person. We're talking about relating to a person. We're talking about relating to God. We're talking about a life of faith, waiting on God, a prayer. We're talking about relating to love, a person that loves me. Christ loves us.
Mm-hmm. It's good for us to get around some gold medal winners of the faith, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that will go a long way. The scripture even tells us to do that. There are people whose faith we can follow.
Yes.
And we'll be encouraged. Walk with the wise and you become wise. A companion in fools suffers harm. So again, to go back to that previous thought, that decision that you have to make about selecting the right people to be around, and the people that you spend the most time with, that's crucial.
Yeah.
And we have to be around like-minded, like-souled people. And it makes sense that we would be.
Mm-hmm.
As believers, you know, people say you spend time you always spend time with church people. Well, yes, we do. But, you know, when you go to Chinatown in New York, you're not going to step into, you know, Little Italy. They're separate. You know, you're going to find a lot of Italians in Little Italy and a lot of Chinese in Chinatown. It's because they speak the same language. It's because they know how to communicate with each other.
Mm.
Their culture is the same. Well, we've been called out of this world into a different life. And unless we are around people that are like-minded, that think the same way, that have God's high and lofty thoughts, life could be pretty challenging.
Yes.
to say the least.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Well, we've reached the end of our broadcast on this Thursday morning, friends. We want to thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you have benefited by tuning in today. We do want to remind you, tomorrow's Friday Grace Hour broadcast coming up, and you'll have the opportunity to hear about this theme and subject a little bit more, and that'll be a little less than 24 hours from now. Thanks so much for joining us, and until tomorrow, may God bless you.